The following message is by Dr. Matt Thornton, pastor of North Bryant Baptist Church. For more information on what we believe, and for many other helpful Bible lessons, we encourage you to visit our website at northbryantbaptist.org. That is northbryantbaptist.org.
I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 20. Many of you may already be there. Exodus 20. If you had seven $1 bills, and you gave six of them to a poor beggar, only keeping one for yourself, how would you feel if he snatched that final dollar from your hand and slapped you across the face? That's what it was like for a Jew to break the Sabbath. The one day of week, they were to rest and focus on God. This morning, we're going to study this fourth commandment, keeping the Sabbath day. And this is the only one of the Ten Commandments that is not repeated for us in the New Testament in some form or fashion. But there's still a lot to learn and some great application for us as well. I want to challenge you this morning to be thankful for and enjoy the freedom and the peace and the rest that Jesus Christ brings. Let's read verse 8 through 11 in Exodus chapter 20. And as we read, you're going to see a pretty simple breakdown, a pretty simple organization of the verses. Verse 8, we will see what the command is. Verse 9 and 10 tell us how to follow it. And then verse 11 tells us why. So let's read verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So let's stop and talk about this now. Starting in verse 8, obviously, just what the command is. And we see the command is to remember the Sabbath day. When is the Sabbath? It's not today. Okay. The Sabbath is not Sunday. We meet for worship on Sunday mornings for a couple of reasons. One is because it's the morning that Christ was resurrected. And two is the early churches in the New Testament met for worship on that day as well. So we're following their example. But Sunday is not the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day begins on Friday evening and ends Saturday evening. That's very different for us to think of the evening and morning instead of morning and evening. But that dates all the way back to creation. In chapter 1 of Genesis, we would read, there was evening and there was morning. And that's the way the Jews sort of keep track of their days. So it's different from us. So the Sabbath day consisted more of Saturday, not Sunday. It was the last day of the week, not the first day of the week. So they were to remember that day to keep it holy. What does it mean when something's holy? It means it's set apart, right? It's not just a common, everyday, mundane thing. It's special. It's consecrated for a unique purpose. I know a lady who has a holy coffee mug, only to be used on Christmas morning and only by her. And I dare you to try and take that coffee mug and use it any other time. It's holy. Right? It's consecrated for that day and that day only. And that's sort of what it means to be holy. Holy to God, now, you understand. It's consecrated to something special and unique for Him. So the Jews were to remember this Sabbath day, this seventh day of the week, to keep it holy, to keep it consecrated and unique. Now, verse 9 and 10, we'll just keep going, discusses how they were to do this. Let's read these verses again. Let's read verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And then verse 10 says, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. And we don't have to read the list again. I do want to mention that verse 9 emphasizes, and I would even say assumes, that the people are going to work during the week. And I don't want to get bogged down here, but there's a couple things that are important to note here. First, work is not a curse. Some people act like it is. Before Adam sinned, God put him in the Garden of Eden to work it. So it was part of God's plan for mankind from the beginning for us to work. Now, once Adam fell and sin's curse was laid down, human work became tougher. We might say instead of being a sweet task, it can be a sweaty toil. But don't think about work as something wrong or something evil. What is wrong is not working. You all know my pet peeve is laziness. I can't stand it. Solomon hammered the foolish sluggard throughout Proverbs. Paul told the Thessalonians, if you don't work, you don't eat. So working is a godly thing. It is how God provides for you and your family. I want you to actually turn over to Exodus 16. And we've already seen a little bit of this in their story. Exodus 16. Do you remember when the Jews had left Egypt, God delivered them, and they started complaining about food? Well, God provided them manna, right? But they still had to go out and work to gather the manna in. It didn't just show up in their homes, in their kitchens. They had to go work to bring it in. And so they needed to understand, and so do we, that God provides, or God's provision for your life does not exclude your effort. It works in conjunction with it. So let's look at verse 22 and 23 of this story in Exodus 16. And we'll see, though, even though the Jews were to go gather the food and work to do that, they were not to do that on the Sabbath day. Look at verse 22 and 23 of chapter 16. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over, lay aside to be kept till the morning." Might as well read verse 24. So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Do you remember that if they gathered up too much on the 6 days of the week, if they tried to save that and hoard it up to have leftovers, it didn't keep. But miraculously, if you gathered it up on Friday, it kept just fine till Saturday, and you could eat it again. God provided for them. So all the way back in chapter 16, it's interesting to me that even before the Sabbath command was officially given as part of the covenant, the Jews were already exposed to this idea of working 6 days and then resting the seventh. Our English word Sabbath actually sounds a lot like the Hebrew word for Sabbath. It has the idea of resting. It has the idea of ceasing or stopping from something. And so we read that it was a day of solemn rest. But we also read that it was a day of rest to the Lord. So look back at verse 10 of chapter 20. And this is something very important. Back in chapter 20 and verse 10, we read, "But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God." I think this is a crucial aspect of this that we miss often because we focus on the not working part of it. The Jews definitely did, and we'll get there in a little bit. The Sabbath absolutely involved you stopping and ceasing from your weekly physical activities. But it was not a day of laziness. It was not a day of doing nothing. It was a day dedicated to God. It was a day dedicated for your spiritual growth, for your fellowship with Him. It was a Sabbath to the Lord. So its main purpose was spiritual. Even though you would receive some physical benefits from not working, we know that if they would rest from the grind of just day in and day out labor, when you get to do that, that helps you physically, doesn't it? Some rest is good physically. It's good mentally. It's good emotionally to have some time off. Because we know you can work yourself sick. And although laziness is wrong, being a workaholic is also wrong. You need time for God. So the Sabbath was healthy in more ways than one. But the main benefit and the main purpose was spiritual. And was it unreasonable for God to demand one of their days? I don't think so. Does God ever ask anything unreasonable anyway? God is God, so he could have demanded 6 days for them to focus on him and only given them one day to plow and plant and harvest and take care of their families and their livestock. And it would be tough to get everything ready for the week in one day. But God didn't do that. He knew the people needed time to work. He also knew they needed time to rest and focus on him. And would it not be much easier for the people to focus on God if they knew there's nothing else to be done today? There's nowhere I have to be. There's no appointments. There's no work that has to be done, nor should it be done. Wouldn't you love a day like that? Our lives are busy, right? How gracious for God to issue this command that removed all the demands and distractions of everyday life and just said, just focus on me on this day, just this one day. And the rest of verse 10, I won't read the whole list again, but I'll mention it. The rest of verse 10 is incredible when we consider when this was written and just the culture of the ancient world. This command was not just for the elite, for the upper class, the landowning adults. This extended to everyone. Everyone in ancient Israelite society mattered. Children had rights. You couldn't work your children in the fields on the Sabbath day. If you did that, you were wrong. Slaves and foreigners had the right to the Sabbath day. Do you know of any other country in the ancient world that demanded a day off for their slaves? The Sabbath was a day of freedom. I want you to turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And I want you to notice something when Moses is restating the Ten Commandments and restating the law for the next generation of people. He adds something about the Sabbath command. And I want you to read it here in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let's read verse 12 and then we'll skip down to verse 15 and 16. Verse 12 of Deuteronomy 5, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. Now let's skip down to verse 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. I have 16 on here. We just need 15. Moses taught the people there in Deuteronomy 5 that their redemption from slavery was a reason to keep the Sabbath day. Every week when they observed the Sabbath, they should have been reminded that they were slaves in Egypt, but God delivered them. So it was right for their slaves, for their servants, to also enjoy a day of rest. Even during a time when slavery was the accepted norm of society, in Israel, though, the status of a slave was elevated. They had rights. You think the Egyptians ever treated the Israelites like that when they were the Egyptian slaves? No. They wouldn't even let them go 3 days in the wilderness. That's what Moses initially asked for. They wouldn't give them 3 days off. The Ten Commandments gave people dignity and freedom. But not just people, right? Did you catch the one part about the livestock? Animals got a break on the Sabbath day. Animals would rest. One author wrote this, that the fourth commandment granted animals dignity as well. And he said, this is the first national law in history that extended to animals. Who cares about animals? God does. God created them and he loves them. Do you remember at the end of Jonah's story? Jonah does not want God to save Nineveh. And God is doing that, and it makes Jonah really mad. And God explains to Jonah, there's a lot of people in Nineveh and cows. Read the end of Jonah's story. God brings up the cows in and around the city as a reason why he does not want to destroy it. God loves his creation. And even though God has given us dominion over creation, we have dominion over animals, it is wrong to treat an animal cruelly. It's not godly. Proverbs 12:10 says, "Whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast." And now the Sabbath day ensured that even animals receive proper treatment. So there's the what of the command, is that you remember the Sabbath. The how is you stop from normal work, everybody, even animals, and you focus on God. Now look at verse 11, it teaches us why. Verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." The reason for the Sabbath goes all the way back to creation. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to read the last verse, and then we'll move into chapter 2. We're just going to jump into the end of chapter 1, which is the end of this creation week, day 6 after God has created Adam. Okay, he has created man. Look at verse 31. "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." Keep going into chapter 2. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." We know from Genesis 1 that God spent 6 days creating things. It mirrors what Moses said in Exodus 20. That's not breaking news. What I want you to make sure you understand and not to overlook is that God did not spend 6 days creating because he couldn't do it in 5 or 4 or however long he wanted to, right? God could have created everything in as little time as possible or as much time as possible. He's God. The reason he chose to create over the span of 6 days with a seventh day of rest added was for you. So what do you mean by that, Brother Matt? Jesus taught this, that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. We see that in the order of creation. Adam and Eve were created 1 day before the Sabbath day. Okay, what I mean by that is God did not create the Sabbath and then say, "You know what? I really need somebody to keep this day for me." It was completely the other way around. God created Adam and Eve on day 6, and the seventh day was the Sabbath. And God knew that it would be for our benefit to have a restful day and a day that would send us back to the fact that, you know what, we were created. We didn't just get here. We have a creator. It's also worth noting that God did not rest on the seventh day because he was tired. He rested because he was finished. He was finished with his creative work. He didn't take a nap. He wasn't worn out. But he did cease from creating. It was finished. It was fulfilled. And so he rested. And he set aside that day as a special day. Think about it this way. God recognized the fulfillment of a job well done. His work was over, so he rested. And that's something that's holy. We need to remember this day. So back to the commandment for the Jews. Similar to God resting from his creative work, what were the Jews to do? They were to work for 6 days and then rest. It mirrors creation. And assuming they worked hard like they should all week, it was also the rest of a job well done, a fulfillment, a finishing what you needed to do that week. And that should have been a constant reminder of God resting when he created things. So there's the what, the how, the why. Now let's talk about how the Jews missed it. First of all, the Jews rarely kept the Sabbath. Frequently, the prophets urged the people to keep the Sabbath. I don't have to read all those places. There is one interesting place in Amos I want to make note of, though. Amos condemns the Jews, and he wrote that they could not wait for the Sabbath day to be over so they could go back to oppressing the poor and doing evil things. So you tell me, were they really keeping the Sabbath? If you don't work on the Sabbath, but you're anxious to get back to your evil when it's over, you keep looking at your watch, when can I get to do evil again? Are you really keeping the Sabbath? No. So failure to keep the Sabbath was part of the ultimate judgment upon the Jews. When God later sent Assyria and Babylon to conquer them, this was part of it. In fact, the timing of how long the Jews were in captivity correlated to how many Sabbath years they missed by not allowing the land to rest. Yes, the land was even to rest from time to time. At some point after they returned from captivity, they did keep the Sabbath, sort of, but they kept it their own way. It became a legalistic nightmare. Instead of a day where they rested and focused on God, they completely misunderstood its spirit and its purpose, and what they tried to do was define the word work. They broke the word work down into 39 different categories, each with its own subsets. Here's a couple of the categories. Tying and untying knots, one category of work. Writing and erasing two letters. I guess one is okay, but two, now we got to. They counted how many steps they took on the Sabbath, because once you crossed that one step mark, oh, you worked. They turned this command, which was all about freedom and rest, into a prison of rules. If you spend the whole Sabbath day worrying about whether or not you're resting or working, you've completely missed the point. In fact, you're focusing on you and what you're doing when you're supposed to be focusing on God anyway. But that's what the Jews did. And they embraced the Sabbath so much, it became their pet command. It was their favorite. They cared more about the Sabbath than any other command. And we see that in the life of Jesus. We'll read a story here in a minute. Well, you can go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 13 and be finding that story. While you're searching for Luke 13, do you remember in James, when James taught that if you break one law, you're a lawbreaker? If you break one commandment, you broke all the commandments because you're a lawbreaker. Well, the Jews taught it in reverse. The Jews taught that if you keep one command, you're a lawkeeper. Guess which command they really focused on? The Sabbath. As long as you keep the Sabbath, you're good. That's why during Jesus' earthly ministry, he faced so many problems from the Pharisees about what he and his apostles and what they did on the Sabbath. Because, boy, everybody scrutinized everything about the Sabbath day. So look at just a couple of the stories in Jesus' life. Luke 13, look at 10 through 17. Verse 10, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Uh-oh. And there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." Isn't that interesting that Jesus freed someone on the Sabbath day, which is all about freedom? Look at verse 13. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Are you serious? Look at verse 15. The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites. Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? He said, as he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. Can you imagine being angry with this woman because she was miraculously healed on the Sabbath day and telling the rest of the people, look, if you want to be healed, you can come back tomorrow. There's 6 days this can happen, but not on the Sabbath. Wow. Jesus just said, you're a hypocrite. Turn over to John chapter 5. God did not give us the Sabbath to keep us from loving people or helping people on that day, which is what Jesus did to that woman. Look at John 5. We're going to jump into the story. I'll read verse 8 through 18, but Jesus healed again on the Sabbath day, a man who was invalid for 38 years, and he healed the man. Look at verse 8. Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed and walk. And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. Uh-oh. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed. You can't carry things. That's one of those 39 categories of work. Quit carrying your bed. Verse 11. But he answered them, the man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk. They asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? Notice they don't even ask about the healing. They don't care that he was healed. Who said that? This is how legalistic they were. Look at verse 13. Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn and there was a crowd in the place. Verse 14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus never broke the Sabbath. He broke their traditions of it. Their traditions were not what God had in mind when he gave the command in the first place. They missed the whole point. They turned this day of holy rest into a day of scrutinizing other people's actions and then focusing on their own work or inactivity instead of focusing on God. I love Jesus' words in verse 17, that my Father's still working. You know, it's the Sabbath. God doesn't stop being God. If God stops doing some things on the Sabbath, the universe is going to explode. If he stops working, then we're gone. He's holding things together, even on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, my Father is still working and so am I. They did not like that. Maybe think about it like this, talking about the Father working even on the Sabbath. God's not restricted by the Sabbath, and neither is Jesus. But the Jews tried to restrict everybody on that day, and they couldn't get beyond their own rules. Now in modern day Israel, this is still very prevalent. They are still very, very strict about the Sabbath. Elevators in modern Israel stop at every floor on the Sabbath day because pushing a button would be required work. Really? Yes, really. It is forbidden to tear the perforated line of toilet paper on the Sabbath day. That is considered work. You need to prepare that the day before. I'm serious. That is how legalistic they are. A day that was meant for freedom has turned into a prison for them. Is that what God wants? No. We'll say, what about us? If we are bound to follow the Sabbath, we're definitely not doing it, right? Some people are off work on Saturday, but we don't cease from most activities and we don't devote the day totally to God. Look at Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read a few verses. Earlier I mentioned that this is one, the one of the Ten Commandments that's not restated for us in some form or fashion. And we're going to read why. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 through 17. Look at verse 13. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, that's Jesus, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Verse 16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Keeping the Sabbath is different from the other Ten Commandments because what we might say is it was more ceremonial. It wasn't ethical or moral, like don't murder someone or don't steal from someone. Those are repeated. But the ceremonial aspects of the law do not restrict you today. Paul specifically said, do not let anyone pass judgment on you because of those types of things. And he specifically mentioned Sabbaths. Those things, even the Sabbath, were a shadow of what's to come, or maybe we could say who was to come. Paul said Christ is the substance of that. Jesus Christ is your Sabbath. He is your rest. I want you to think about how beautiful this is. The Sabbath day was a day for the Jews to stop their work and draw closer to God. Now, since Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again and finished all the work the Father sent him to do, you can stop your work and focus on God. Have you ever had so many things going on? You've got so many things that need to be taken care of, whether it's your job or your family at the house, the honey-do list, whatever it is, that it's hard to even sit down and rest. Because when you sit down, you there's 50 things in your mind that I could be doing right now. I get like that a lot. I joke that I don't relax very well. There's always something I could be doing. Jesus said it is finished. So he finished everything that needed happening, that needed to be done for your salvation so you can rest from that. You cannot and do not work for it. Works do not get you to heaven. So be free of trying to keep a checklist like the Jews did. Be free of trying to do enough good things to please God and just rest in the fact that Jesus did everything for you. That's freedom. Just trust Him. Not only do works not save anybody anyway, but that kind of thinking leads to a prison. Jesus came to set you free. If you'll repent and trust Him, He will save you and give you eternal rest. That spiritual salvation is a major part of the Sabbath rest that Christ brings. And everyone who trusts Him will realize that for all eternity. But there are a lot of people who are saved who do not enjoy the peaceful rest in Christ in this life like they should. If you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 4, we'll see one major reason why. I'm coming in for a landing. We're going to pick up in Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 8 in just a minute. Let me set the context. The author of Hebrews has been mentioning the past chapter and a half about how the Jews, who were God's people, they were redeemed from Egypt. They followed Moses, all of those good things, but they still didn't enter the rest of the promised land. Not that first generation. It was because of their unbelief and unfaithfulness and disobedience. So that initial generation wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and they died out. They didn't enter that rest. Didn't mean they weren't God's people. They were redeemed from Egypt. All of those things. Well, let's pick up verse 8 through 11 in chapter 4 here. For if Joshua had given them rest, this is the next generation, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Now, on the one side of things, the spiritual salvation in Christ is absolutely a major aspect of Sabbath rest. But if you look at verse 11 here, there's another aspect as well, because we don't strive to enter salvation. So the other aspect of this rest is found when you faithfully obey him in this life. That's what the Jews struggled with. You can be saved and you will enjoy that eternal rest one day. But if you live disobediently and you live unfaithfully, you will not enjoy a lot of peace right now. And if you think that obeying God, following his commands and being faithful, if you think that's not restful and peaceful and that's not freedom, then you don't know God very well. John wrote that his commandments are not burdensome. And I've mentioned multiple times in this sermon series that the Ten Commandments were not given to tie people up. They were given to set them free. They were given for their benefit. And famously, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." People are almost always tougher and more demanding on other people than even Jesus is. Jesus is a gentle and loving and caring and understanding master who just desires your love and obedience. He will never ask you to do something that is unnecessary, that is unbeneficial, that is too demanding. So if you're not finding rest right now, if you're not finding peace, maybe you're not truly following and obeying and being faithful the way you should, or maybe you and or other people are putting too many demands on your service, demands that even Jesus wouldn't do. That can happen. Do not be legalistic like the Jews and demand more from people than even the Lord does. And that could take away their rest and take their focus off God because they're so worried about everything they have to do. Finally, I want to end with this. Even though we are not bound by Sabbath restrictions, that does not mean that we would not benefit from a time of rest and focus on God. Our lives can get so crazy in this world. They get so busy so quickly. You all know that. And we can get stressed. We can be frustrated. We can have anxieties. Those things can negatively affect our physical health. They can affect our families. They can affect our other relationships. They can definitely affect our fellowship with God. Don't ever be too busy with your own kingdom that you won't stop and give some time back to God and focus on Him. Your time is one of the most precious things God has given you. Don't be like that selfish beggar and snatch every bit of it from him without letting him have a little bit. Give your time to God, and don't forget that when you do that, that will actually benefit you. We know the benefit of physical rest. But you'll also be amazed at what some time in prayer will do. You'll be amazed at what some time reading the Bible will do for you. And if that works for you to have a scheduled time, that's awesome. But it doesn't have to be a legalistic, rigorous schedule that imprisons you. That's not the point. And it's all thanks to Jesus. Enjoy the freedom that Jesus Christ gives you. Let's stand. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we are just so incredibly amazed at your brilliance and how you connect everything together, that this Sabbath command goes all the way back to creation and yet also points us to Christ and yet is good for us in more ways than one, physically, mentally, emotionally, and definitely spiritually. And I pray that, Lord, we will not be selfish with our time, but that we will give you back a portion of it. And we're so thankful for just the freedom and the peace that Christ brings. Lord, if there's someone here today who feels like they have to work for their salvation, Lord, take that away from them. Help them to just trust in Christ and rest in what he's done for us on the cross. We're so thankful for him, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.